before we go further, would like to ask if anybody feels like they have something that needs to be said or done this morning. If not, then we'll try to go into that, which what the Lord has placed upon our hearts for today. I'd like to ask that you would pray for us as we try to stand. This morning, I don't really know exactly where to start out. The Lord has given us so many thoughts. But the one thing that keeps coming back, to me, is having a vision. Having a vision. And that's been replaying in my mind and in my heart this whole week. Some of you I've spoke with personally that I woke up Monday morning with a burden on my heart and a desire to maybe go outside these four walls and work for the Lord. And I tell you this much, and I'm thankful to be in God's house this morning. I don't want to diminish that at all. My Father's house is a house of prayer, is it not? A house of prayer and a house of worship, and something that we need to make sure is taken care of. But as God's people and has His church, before He ascended into heaven, He gave us the Great Commission. And that commission was to go out into all the world, teaching and making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I do know that it is a teaching that Jesus Himself even taught us, that after you've been saved by the grace of God, that you are to put your light upon a candlestick and join the Lord's church. And I think it's a great privilege to be a member of God's church. I not only think it's a great privilege, I know it's a great privilege. I've said this many a times, and I'll say it again. The church is the greatest institution that there is on the face of the earth. With Jesus as her foundation and Jesus as her head. Now, I have been a part of some services. It seems like that man had tried to take control. Have you ever been in services like that? I have, and it's a terrible feeling. And it's terrible to watch, to see how man just thinks that they can control the church of the living God. Now, I do believe that the church, that God did give the church authority to go out in this world and to baptize, to go out and teach, and to have authority over its members. But I do not believe that the church is ran by just mankind itself. I believe it's ran by God and God alone. We read in Colossians 1 and 18 how Jesus is the head of the church. And without the head of the church, if we don't follow our head, we would have no sense of direction on where to go. So folks, I want us to think about this morning. I don't know if the Lord wants me to relay this of what's been on my heart, but I believe that it is proper for us to go out these four-sided walls, to go out to the communities, to go out and teach people the doctrines that God gave the church to teach. I think that's proper, and I think that's part of the Great Commission. Now, I do understand that with COVID and all that, we've gotten used to just Sunday morning worship. And of course, many people will say, well, if we do Facebook Live, that's just another excuse for people to miss church. Let me tell you, excuses are always going to be there. There was a song that I was listening to this morning. It said by the Kingsmen Quartet years ago. And maybe that might be your homework to maybe go listen to that. But it says, excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil will provide them just to help you stay away. It's too hot, it's too cold. The preacher preaches too long, he doesn't preach long enough. Somebody didn't shake my hand last week. Excuses are always going to be there. But you know, us as God's people, I think it's time that we stop coming up with excuses. I think it's time that we get out of our spiritual lazy boy recliner and for us to do the work that God has called us to do. That we need to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus gave his very church. And you've heard me say this multiple times too. Upon our door, it says Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. It doesn't say Friendship Not on the Law Baptist Church, because that's not what God wants us to be. We believed in fulfilling that Great Commission and having a mission mind and a mission work ethic. I'm thankful to see people coming in the church house doors. I'm thankful to see lost souls coming in from time to time in the church house door to hear the gospel. But folks, our job isn't just Sunday mornings. It's each and every day that God gives us to go out to the world to witness what Jesus had done for us and to tell them and to teach them the proper way, I believe, of salvation. Because there's so many doctrines out there of salvation that people can just easily get confused on and take a hold of it and run with it. And us as God's people need to stand firm on the word that he has given us, passed down through the years. That we fulfill the Great Commission that God has given us. Now this verse has been, I guess with the Lord's help, we'll probably start with this. But this verse has replayed and replayed and replayed and replayed each and every day this week in my heart. Proverbs 29 and 18, where Solomon says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I want to ask you this morning, church, do we have a vision? Do we have a vision? And if you don't have a vision, I pray that by the end of this, maybe you'll hit your knees, maybe come to the altar and ask God to give you one. But now we read over in the 30th chapter of Proverbs right next to that. And see, and I never knew that this verse was here in the Word of God until Monday. I looked over and there it was. And it's something that struck a chord in my heart. Proverbs 30 and 16. And if you don't have a vision, I pray that this verse causes you to fall on your knees and ask God to help you. Proverbs 30 and 16. Well, matter of fact, let's go back to verse 15 so that way we can catch up on what's being said. The horse latch hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things. Note this, three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not it is enough. The grave. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not it is enough. Folks, let's go to reality. People are dying. Let's be honest. People are dying. Death, from the second that we enter into this world, is at our very doorstep. People are dying. And it's not the fact that people are dying, but it's the fact that there's people dying and going to a devil's hell. And we read over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 5 and verse 14 how it tells us that hell enlarges herself daily. On a day-to-day-to-day basis, when the grave is not satisfied and there's people continuing to die, I believe that I think this, maybe I don't know anybody's hearts, but I can guarantee with what the Bible says, there's a majority, since hell enlarges herself daily, there's probably a majority that's going off and dying into a devil's hell. And if that does not cause you to be worried, I don't know what will. If that doesn't cause you to bow down on your knees and say, God, give me a vision of what you want done, then nothing will. This isn't some fairy tale that we talk about Sunday to Sunday. These words we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. That these words is penned down, written down by men who were inspired by God and moved as God gave them. So what does that tell me? I believe this is God-breathed. I do. I believe this is God-breathed. I believe that this, people call it the Bible, I call it the Word of the true and living God. And people will say the Bible, you know, we can go to acronyms, go B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving the earth. It's what God gives us. And this ain't no fairy tale. This is eternal life and death. The grave never says it's satisfied, and until Jesus comes back, it will never say it's satisfied. Death is on our doorsteps. And it's not just on my doorsteps, it's on your doorsteps. But folks, what do we need to be doing until we die? And I hope you answer, serving God. Amen. We've been talking about time this whole time in Sunday school. We're almost done with it. But let me tell you what, it's had me do a lot of reflecting. It made me think, how much of my time do I really spend trying to go after the lost souls of the earth, the lost souls of this world who know nothing about God, who know nothing about a personal relationship with Jesus? How much of my time do I spend wanting them to know God? How much of my time do I spend wanting them to know what I know? And that's a personal relationship with Him. I'm going to say this because some of you might misconstrue what I say, or some of you might, and I don't want to get misconstrued. I don't believe that women are called to preach. Just be honest. Sorry, ladies, but God, I believe God doesn't call women to preach. But you know what? Women do have a role in the church and when it comes to serving God. But look at the woman at Samaria, for example. Whenever she went there to the well in John chapter 4, Jesus told his disciples, you know, they went the long way around. And Jesus said, well, I must needs to go to Samaria. The disciples didn't know why he needed to go to Samaria, but Jesus knew. He knew there was going to be this woman who was going to the well to fill up the water. And you know, she stopped by there. And you know, Jesus looked at her and said, give me the drink. Just a little simple task. Give me the drink. Well, what do you, a Jew, have anything to do with me, a Samaritan woman? Because we know that the Jews don't want anything to do with Samaritans. I like what Jesus replied to her with. He said, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you would be asking me for a drink of water. Yeah. If only you knew. And then we all know how the story goes, how Jesus tells her that, And she go and tell thy husband. And she said, well, I have no husband. And he goes, well, actually, yeah, you do. But matter of fact, you have five of them. We all know how the story goes. But you know what? I believe that woman there got saved that day. And you know what the Bible says? Is that she went to Samaria, but she left her water pots. Something that she went there to do, to fill up on the water pots when Jesus saved her soul, she just left it there because she wanted everybody in Samaria to go, hey, look, is this not the Messiah? He told me of all my sins, and I believe that she went there proclaiming that he rescued. And she said, is this not the Messiah? And the Bible says that there was many people who believed her report.
Amen.
I don't believe women are called to preach, but I believe in good spiritual testifying.
Amen.
And I believe, and let me tell you, I've witnessed a lot of good sisters in my life. Hey, when the gospel message couldn't go through, there was a good old saint woman who would stand up and the Spirit be with her, who would testify of God's goodness. After that, the altar got filled. Let me tell you, folks, we all have a role in the church. We all have a role in the service. It might not be preached, and that's okay. Might not be preached. Might not be the same. Let me tell you, I thought the only offices that were in the church for the longest time would just be preaching, singing, and piano playing, and deacons. But you know, the roles of the church goes much further than that. And you know, it's not just those roles, but it's the role of people testifying. And if you remember, a couple months ago, the Lord had us to preach about prophesying, about proclaiming what God has done. There's roles of proclaiming. And let me tell you what, we need proclaimers in the church. There's the role of being a prayer warrior, which I believe all of us could be if we got our hearts right with God. There's the role of going out and inviting people. The church has just so much more roles. And it doesn't stop at the pastor and deacons and the song leader. So much more than that we can do individually out in this world. And you know, I get heartbroken sometimes because I am afraid that this virus that came about last year has gotten all of us comfortable. And it's gotten us to where we just want to hoard God up in these four-sided walls. Now, let me tell you this. We're few in number this morning, and that's okay. There's some that's out on a trip, some that's out preaching, and that's okay. Maybe some sick, some are tired, and that's okay. But let me tell you what. Instead of us waiting for people to come in here, why don't we take Jesus out there? Instead of waiting for people to just come in here with no invitation at all. Instead of waiting for people to come in here and just pray that the Spirit of God just moves enough that they hear the gospel and get on their knees that one time that they come in, instead of just waiting for them to do that, why don't we just stop hoarding God up, stop hoarding the gospel, and take it out there like it's supposed to. We need to be missionary Baptists. We need to be missionary Baptists, folks. Not on the log Baptists. Not sit on your thumb Baptists. Not just be comfortable Baptists. But missionary Baptists. That's what we need to do. And I know that's just the name on the church door. But you know, if we put that name missionary on there, we need to act like it. We need to teach like it. We need to preach like it. We need to... Have y'all ever heard this phrase? Well, if it quacks like a duck, and walks like a duck. Well, guess what? It acts like a duck. Well, guess what? It must be a duck. Well, you know what? We don't just need to talk the talk. But honey, as God's people, we need to walk the walk. If it acts like a duck, talks like a duck, walks like a duck, folks, let me tell you what, people need to see. You can obviously tell that there is a duck when it does that, but people need to obviously tell that there's been a change in us. People need to see that. You know, I've prayed. Let me tell you, last week we had revival. Revival doesn't stop there. I'm afraid we just get that in our minds. Revival doesn't stop last week. Revival should have kept going on in our hearts. It should have kept going on in our worship. It should have kept going on in our lives. Oh, and I've been praying. Oh, God, just send a great revival amongst your people. But let me tell you what, we need to be woken up. We need to be woken up. We need our eyes open to what's going on out there. How the grave is never satisfied and hell enlarges herself daily. Amen. Brother Brad himself even preached about having a burden and carrying one. Do we have a burden? If not, and let me tell you, that goes right along in having a vision. You don't. Right here is a good place to ask for one. Let me tell you, oh, I would love one day to come in here and the Spirit of God just moves so powerful that we see this bench filled up, not just this bench, but all these benches filled up with seekers. But in order for that to happen, this has to be filled up with saved seekers. We need to be seeking God's face. Seek God's will. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 one day set out to seek that what was in his heart. And everything that was in his heart was all the wealth and all the women and everything that this world can provide. Let me tell you what, if you don't have Jesus, that don't amount to anything. But you know what Solomon said after he witnessed all that? Ecclesiastes, I've nicknamed it whenever I go there to the book of vanities. Because every single verse, it's vanity, it's vanity, it's vanity. And you know what Solomon said after he witnessed all the goodness and abundance of this life? I think you can take a guess. It is vanity. What does vanity mean? Worthless. Not amounting to anything good. There's a phrase I like to say sometimes and say, it don't amount to a hill of beans. Folks, let me tell you what, everything that's in this world, it don't amount to a hill of beans. It's completely worthless. I don't care how big of a house you have, how kind of clothes you wear. I don't care about how much money you have. But folks, if you don't have Jesus, what good does it do, man? If he gains this whole world and yet loses his own soul. Amen. And that is the message that the church needs to go out in the community that she is placed in and preach. Amen. I read something one day on Facebook. Some of y'all probably need to say, I need to stop looking at Facebook. I know I do. It seems like each time I get up here, something on Facebook happens. But you know, I saw something on Facebook. It really got me to my core. And it says, don't just invite people to church. Amen. But invite them to get to know you. Invite them to sit down and have fellowship. Folks, we need to invite people. We need to show people
that not only do we care about their spiritual well-being, but their physical well-being as well. This church, Friendship, is placed at East Baseline Road in Columbus, Indiana. There's a couple of miles separating us from New Life. And there's a couple of miles separating us from Hall Creek. And you know what? It's in between the miles that separate us is a whole lot of mission work that I see needs to be done. Amen. The miles that separating us is a whole lot of lost souls that need to hear about Jesus. And I don't care how it gets done. I'm sure the Lord doesn't care how it's done. But let me tell you what, before we seek what we need to do, we need to ask God for His guidance. Well now, Brother Barber, I've tried inviting my family members. I've tried inviting co-workers. I've tried inviting people I meet. And all they give me is excuses. You know, Jesus invited a man one time. Well, excuse me. Jesus told of a story where the king invited a man one time. And guess what? That man was also full of excuses. It said that the king had prepared a great supper. And let me tell you what. There's a great supper that God has prepared. But the king had prepared a great supper. And he told his servant, he said, you go out and invite anybody that you see. Invite this person, invite that person. And so he did. And he said, my king, he said, I went out and invited them. And it said that with all of them that I invited, with one consent and one moment of time, the next second started to give an excuse. Excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil provides them just to help you stay away. And he said, my king, I've went out and invited these people. And he said, but yet there is room at this table. You know what the king said? He said, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Let me tell you, God has a great dinner table ready, and it's never full. So what does that mean, preacher? We need to go out to the highways, go out to the hedges, and compel people to come in. I don't care how terrible of a life they live. I don't care how what they might look like, how they might dress. We need to be worried about their soul. Well, you may say it now, preacher. If we go out down here, it's just a bunch of low-class people that's just hooked up on drugs and meth and marijuana, and they just can't get out of it. Invite them anyways. Tell them about Jesus anyways. Well now, preacher, there's a man that I work with, he just got out of jail. Murder somebody. Tell him about Jesus anyways. Let me tell you, I had some people come in the barbershop one time. They just got out of jail. Some of them were amounts of acts of violence that I really don't want to say. But you know what? They knew Jesus too. Amen. Paul murdered the church, but he needed Jesus too. Paul even said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Well, that's okay, because if God can save the chief of sinners, he can save the whole tribe of Indians. You know, I ran across this one time. It's earlier this week. I'm going to stop here in a minute. Church, I guess what I'm getting at is I feel like I need to charge you to go out and tell people about Jesus. But let me tell you this. Paul wrote one time in the third chapter to the church at Philippi, third chapter of the book of Philippians. And he was talking about all the things that he had suffered. And if you read in the book of Acts, all the accounts that Paul had went to go to these countries and go to the townspeople to tell them about Jesus. Let me tell you what, you think of all the suffering he went through. Yeah, it would cause us to sit back in our seats and be comfortable with the way things are. Let me tell you, Paul had a certain mindset about him. That everything that bad or good that happened in his life, it was all for the advancement of the gospel. Paul was shipwrecked at sea. Paul was thrown in prison, no telling how many times, beaten, lashed, mocked on. And yet, still had a desire to preach about the man that he saw on the road to Damascus. Why? Because that man changed his life forever. Jesus changes you.
Amen.
Jesus changes you. But you know, he wrote in the book of Philippians there, and he said, everything that happened to me, I just count it dung for the cause of Christ. It's all just worthless. And all the pleasures of this life, it's just dung. It's worthless. And everything that's bad that has happened to me, it was all because of the advancement of Christ that needed to happen. He says in the 10th verse, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Of course, it goes a lot more detail than that, but I'm going to stop right there. You know, I woke up Monday morning with a burden to work for the Lord. That whole day, Monday, I told y'all in Sunday school, Monday's my day off. Now, I usually look forward to it so that I can catch up on all the TV shows that I missed. But you know, I wasn't worried about no TV show last Monday. I was wanting to know Christ more and the power of his resurrection. I found myself in a position that I just wanted to be closer to him than what I was before, that I may know him fully. And that's what Paul was saying here. Folks, let me tell you, that word resurrect means to be made alive. We read how Jesus not only resurrected, but he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And guess what? If you're lost or separated from God, spiritually, you are dead on the inside. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the power of him making people alive. That I just may know him and everything that he possesses. That I just might strive to be closer to him in my day-to-day walk. And let me tell you, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It was a disciplinary letter to the church that Paul wrote, talking about some sins that had happened. And Paul said that you should have no fellowship with that, with all the things that's going on. And folks, let me tell you what. If your job or the people you're with, if
you don't have an influence over them and they have more of a worldly influence over you and causing you to be farther from God, I'm going to say this, and you may not like it, but if it's hindering your relationship with God, get it out of the way.
Well, now, preacher, I make this good money at my job. Yeah, it causes me to go to church about, once every 3 months. I make good money at this job. If it hinders your walk with God, get it out. I'm just being honest. That's what we have been called to do as God's people. Jesus himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But yet, how can we point people to the way, the truth, and the life? How can we point people to him? How can they notice a difference in us if we have more of a worldly influence about us? And I'm afraid down through the ages, the world has had more of an influence on the church than the church on the world. And we're seeing it. Folks, I charge you. Let's have a vision. I charge you to have a closer walk with God, that you may know him and the power of his resurrection, that you may lay hold upon him. Jesus said, if any man wishes to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Starts with denying ourselves. Amen. And denying the world. And if we don't deny that, then our walk with God won't become any better. Folks, if you don't have a burden and you don't have a vision, I invite you to pray, to seek after that. I invite you, if you feel like you've just grown so distant from God that you can't, I don't believe in losing salvation, but I believe, as what the psalmist said one time, how he lost the joy of his salvation. I not only believe it, but I've experienced myself how you can be so far from God that you can lose the joy of your salvation. If you feel cold and indifferent and that you're just so far from God, I invite you to pray. Amen. I invite you to seek him.
Amen.
And I hope, and I really didn't explain my burden other than it's going out. If some of you want to know, then you can talk to me about it after service, or maybe sometime throughout the week. But let me tell you, I hope by the time you get done seeking the face of God and being closer to him and trying to deny yourself, I hope that when you get up, we can share the same burden and desire. You know, growing indifferent and cold from God, you know, and lots of times it's not even growing cold and indifferent. I sometimes call it a sluggish state. And I told y'all I'd shut up, and I'm going to try my best to after this. But sometimes it's just being in a sluggish state. How many of you woke up this morning and just thought, oh, I have to go to church. Oh, I've got to listen to that long-winded pastor of ours. How many of you, when the song started, when Brother Danny started leading singing, oh man, I gotta sing. And how many of you will just be so glad for us to dismiss service? It's been in that sluggish state. And let me tell you what, sometimes I find myself in that sluggish state if I don't watch myself. Sometimes we'll get ready for church and oh man, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, I got to do this and do that, and I got a million other things in this life that I've got to do, whatever we get done. But let me tell you what, that I'm afraid that we have become so fast-paced in this life that it's hard for us to take time out of our day throughout the week for God. Because we've become so cluttered with this world. But you know, the psalmist, at one point, it's either Psalms 42 or Psalm 62. Some of you might want to check and make sure that I'm right. And there's a song that somebody wrote that I like to listen to after it. But in that psalm, it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after thee, O God. And it talks about, and I'm paraphrasing all this, but it talks about how his soul was just in distress and he was just in this sluggish state that, you know, it was hard for him to go into the temple and go to the house of God. But then, whenever he started seeking after God, God changed that. You know, both my vehicles are due for an oil change. But let me tell you, and if y'all ever notice, when your vehicle's due for an oil change, it just doesn't run as good as it does. Maybe we're just in that feeling. Maybe we're just in that place. We're just not running as good as what we are, or as what we should, or as what we used to. But then you go to Valvoline or go to Walmart, or some of you might do it yourself, and you get an oil change in it, and next thing you know, when you start that thing up and start driving, lots of times it runs like it's brand new. Drives smooth and as good as it can. Maybe today, some of us need to have a spiritual oil change. Maybe we need to stop in the workshop and let God work on us and show us what we're doing wrong and show us what's in our way. And brothers and sisters, I pray that whatever you ask God, what's standing in your way, and God reveals it to you, whatever it is, I hope and pray that you ask Him to help you remove it. Whether it's job, money, cars, whatever, let me tell you this, all that's just going to burn up one day after a while. That's why we're supposed to not lay treasures on earth, but lay treasures in heaven. Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. What is your heart on this morning, folks? I charge you this morning. Seek and ask God for a vision. I'm done. Brother Danny, if you want to come up and get a song. Brother Mark, if you want to come up and help him out on the piano. And some of you may not want to come up and pray and seek that. Let me tell you, I hope that whenever we stand up and sing, we can just be like Mary there in the book of Luke, how she just pondered the words and took it to heart and pondered on them. So this morning, let us all stand.
And if I tried to analyze what goes with this message, he's sure hammering us Christians to get concerned. If all you are doing today is you made it someone's happy face just to go to church, get a happy face from God and do His will.
Amen.
I think that's what we need, is what does God want? So I run across a song that hit me. I thought for a minute it would be to the lost, but this is to the saved. Page 85. Have thine own way, Lord. You can stand if you want to. Do what God asks you to do.
Thou art the potter. after thy will, while I am waiting, you live and still.
This is to you now.
Have thine own.
Strictly CD and everything. And that's where I've gotten to in my age. All of a sudden, everything has just got faster than I'm living.
Yeah.
I've got cassette everywhere I look. I've got cassettes. And equipment's getting hard to replace when you start seeing them go down.
Yeah.
And down the road, they should rot and start cracking and falling away. Just like you and I are going to. And so I hope and pray that all of you will just do every little thing. Go ahead.
I have a song I'd like for us to sing.